Well, it's been estimated, as I've told you before, that from the first good morning you spoke today to your good night tonight, the average person engages in so many conversations each day that their words could make a book of between 50 and 60 pages. Thus, we could make a library of 100 books a year just from our conversation. I'm not talking about if you speak for a living. I'm just talking about everyday life. So in that volume of words that we speak, we have to choose if we're going to powerfully harness and direct these words to use for God. Now, our tongue is an intriguing study in great contrast. Think about that object that's resting in your mouth right now and hiding behind that ivory fence of your teeth. To the doctor, he would describe it as a 2-ounce slab of mucous tissue that contains a world of interrelated muscles and nerves. That's an interesting tongue. To our body, it would say, well, that's the vital organ that must work properly if we're to eat, chew, taste, swallow, and talk. That's the helpful tongue. To another person, the tongue is the primary avenue of communication. It gives us the ability to inflect sounds and articulate words distinctly. It gives us the vehicle to communicate our thoughts. That's the essential tongue. Yes, without the tongue, no teacher could guide their pupils. No coach would prepare their team. No mother could softly sing her baby to sleep. No leader could motivate his group adequately. No pastor could bring comfort to heavy hearts. No issues could be discussed and resolved. In fact, without the communication of conversation, our whole planet would be reduced to a mere roar of unintelligible grunting and groaning. It's rare that we stop to reflect how vital this little muscle is in our mouth. If we are to, as James says in the first four verses, if we're to powerfully use this tongue and harness and direct it, what should we be harnessing and directing it to do? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I wrote down a few things. And you might want to jot these references. I'm going to read them to you. Back in Joshua, and that's the fifth, sixth, Genesis, at least numbers you write. Joshua, sixth book of the Bible, okay? So you go to the front and go back six books. Right after the Pentateuch is Joshua, chapter 1. And I want to show you the first of seven ways we should harness our tongue and direct our tongue into blessing God. And these are seven ways to bless God. How to bless God, here's seven ways, okay? And if you are never going to go to China and be a missionary, if you don't want to go like Elizabeth Elliot did and live with the man-eating savages, and if you don't want to, live in a hut, then you can bless God right here for the rest of your life if you do what the Word of God says. And here's the first one, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your, what? Mouth. The Bible is supposed to be coming out of our mouths. If the Bible is supposed to come out of our mouth, it's got to get in there somehow to come out. And so that's why we read the Bible, and after we read the Bible, we get so interested in it, we study the Bible, and after we study the Bible, we study it so much, we memorize the Bible, and after we memorize something, it keeps on in our mind so long that we start meditating on it. Now, I know some of you meditate on video games. Do you know how I know that? Because that's all you talk about. I know others of you meditate on facets of the business world. Do you know how I know that? Because it's all that I hear you talking about. I know that others of you meditate on sports. Do you know how I know? It's because that's what you talk about. Whenever there's a break in a conversation, you go, have you heard what they signed so-and-so for? Or do you know who's... and it just comes out. Did you know whatever we meditate on comes out of our mouth? Look back at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. How does it get there? But you shall meditate in it day and night. The word meditate is very interesting. This word is translated about seven different ways in the Bible. It's translated roar, like a lion. It's translated coo, like a dove. It's translated howl, like the wind. It's translated babble, like a drunken person. It's translated gurgle, like a stream gurgles over a rock. It's translated for the sound of different kind of storms when the wind comes. The one wind is kind of like the howling wind around your house that bangs stuff. The other is just the great roar of a wind. And then it's translated right here, the same word, meditate. And you say, what does drunkenness have to do with meditation? What does a dove cooing have to do with meditation? Well, what it is it's an involuntary sound coming out. And what he's saying is, whatever you're full of comes out. If you're full of the Word of God, it's going to... In fact, the best translation of the word meditate in Joshua 1:8 is the word mumble. Mumble. If the Word of God is so much a part of our life, we will mumble it day and night. We'll be driving along the road and we'll go, be angry and sin not, you know, you know, when people cut us off. Or we'll be going like this and we'll see something. In fact, when we were down in Miami, I saw billboards like I have never seen before. I mean, I thought I had been around. I couldn't believe some of the billboards they had in Miami. And you know what I said? I will set no wicked thing before my eye. I was mumbling, and I said, what are you saying? And I said, I'm not going to set any wicked thing before my eye. I said, I'm going to look straight at the pavement, you know, instead of at the billboards, you know. And that's what mumbling the Word of God is. In every situation in life, it just pops up. It's kind of like in Microsoft Word, they have this little program that you type all of your appointments in, and all of a sudden, in the middle of your day, it'll just come up on the screen all by itself and says, time to call somebody, or time to do this, time to brush your teeth, whatever it is. It just pops up and tells you to do something. And you know what? The Word of God, without any Microsoft program, wants to just pop right up in front of your face every day and say, time to do this, time to do that, time to stop this, time to stop that. That's what he says. Okay, you shall meditate in it, mumble in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. What is spiritual maturity all about? It's not knowing it, it's not talking about it, it's not having it in your back pocket, it's not having it underlined in your Bible. It is Joshua 1:8. Observing to do according to all God wrote. What happens when you do this? Then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Why, you don't have to go to one of those motivational speaker courses to learn how to be prosperous and successful. All you have to do is read the Bible, study it, memorize it. Memorize it to the extent that you meditate on it. Mumble it all day long and observe to do what you mumble. And then you will be prosperous and successful. So what's the first thing that we're supposed to do with this mouth? We are supposed to speak the Word of God. I hope. In fact, every time I have the opportunity to pray, it amazes me that verses I haven't thought of for ages come together into my mind. Did you know that's God's realm? He says, I'll tell you what, if you'll just load up, if you'll just load your trunk, if you'll just load your cupboards with the scriptures, and he said, and just pile them and stuff them in, I'll be in charge of taking care of them, okay? And I'll mix them together and I'll throw them in the right place in your life at the right time, and I'll bring them to your mind when you need them. He says, just pack it full. Did you know we should be like the squirrels? I love watching them out the back window. Those squirrels have been busy ever since the first nut fell off our pecan trees, and they are just burying them everywhere. They drag them down the fence tops, and they run, and they hide them in these spots, and they're just packing. And every time I go out to the wood pile and get wood, I find another lodge of their nuts. They thought they were safe. They went down in the wood pile, and they've got them all piled in there, and I always feel so bad, pull the wood, and they all fall down. Then I see them, they carry them off to a new spot, because those are important to them. Are you packing verses into your life? This is not for the Awana kids alone. It's for the 50-year-olds and the 40-year-olds and the 30-year-olds. We should be packing our lives with the Word of God so that it'll come out at the right time. Number one, speak God's Word. Number two, if you want to turn to the Psalms, that's right in the middle of your Bible. If you're kind of new at all this, it should, when you pop it into the middle, it should hit the Psalms, and look for the 32nd Psalm. The second thing that we should do with our tongue is confess our sins. Not only speak God's Word, but God says He loves it if we continually are confessing our sins. And you say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Yes, in the strict theological sense, all of our sins are forgiven whether we confess them or not. They were once and for all forgiven by Christ on the cross, and that's a past event that has a present action in our lives. But in a practical sense, God commands us, contrary to some of these strange people that talk on the radio that say, oh, Christians don't need to confess their sins anymore. Well, God says we do. Christ said we did. And His writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to the very end of the canon said we need to confess our sins. So it's something that's not from some past dispensation. It's for right now. We are to constantly be confessing our sins. Why? So God will forgive them? No. The scriptures say if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to already have forgiven them. But if we confess them, it keeps us humble, and it keeps reminding us of our weakness and of God's greatness. And so it's a great thing to keep us in perspective of who we are. So look at what Psalm 32 says. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. I acknowledge my sin to you. My iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You know what a great thing to do with our tongues is? Agree with God that we're weak. Agree with God that we fail. Agree with God that we sinned in that situation. That's a great thing to do with our tongues. Speak the word of God. Confess our sins. Here's another one. Turn over to Psalm 77. Go to the right. Keep flipping. Don't hear very many pages. Don't get lost. Okay. Psalm 77, verse 12. Share what God's doing in your life. I love this verse. He says there, verse 11, I'll remember the works of the Lord. I'll remember your wonders of old. Verse 12, I will meditate on all your work. I'll talk of your deeds. Talk about what God's doing in your life. Talk about the fact that He's drawing you closer to Him. Talk about the fact that His Word is just coming alive in your life, that you got an opportunity to share it, that you were able to witness, that you were able to open your life to some new realm. Talk about it. It's a wonderful thing. Share what God's doing in your life, thirdly. Speak God's Word, number one. Confess your sins, number two. Share what God's doing in your life, number three. Here's another one. New Testament, all the way to the right. Luke, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke. Third book of the New Testament. So you're going a lot. Look at Luke 1:64. This is what it says. We need to be praising God. And this is wonderful. And this is the whole scene at Christmas time, the birth of John the Baptist and all that was going on there. I love the 64th verse of Luke 1. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke. And what's the first thing out of his mouth? Praising God. That's exciting. I mean, if you and I had an impediment, we couldn't talk for 6 months, and all of a sudden our mouths opened up, would we say, oh, I'm glad that's over, can I have a cup of coffee? Or, oh, that was awful. What's the first thing that came out of, look at this, verse 64. As soon as his tongue was loosed, he spoke praising God. And look at the result, verse 65. And fear came on all who dwelt around them. It was such a powerful thing that his tongue was praising God. It ministered to people. Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 to the right, we should confess Jesus with our mouth. It says in Ephesians 4, 29, we should be saying healthy words. When you go to the store, would you like it? I was at that giant new Resorts last night, and I went in and I thought, I have never seen such an exotic display of vegetables. I mean, I didn't even know some of those things grew on the planet. I mean, it's just amazing, all that stuff. But, you know, I looked at everything. It all looked fresh and firm, and it looked vibrant and like they just had picked it. Can you imagine going up to those big cases and picking up a potato and your fingers sunk in it, and all of a sudden that horrible smell of rotted potato? I mean, you drop that thing right on the floor, and you just go away from there. Or can you imagine going up that dark red meat? I mean, they just had big pieces of meat. Can you imagine going up there and seeing a little white thing crawling along it, you know, inside the package? Now, that's how it is in third world countries. Many times at meat markets, when I have gone to buy something, they've taken their meat cleaver and scraped the flies off and cut the piece of meat out. But we don't like that. Well, look at what Ephesians 4 says. Say healthy words. Let no corrupt, no rotted, no stinky, no foul, no corrupt. Don't let anything come out that is corrupting other people or that curses God. Don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only what's good, what's healthy, what is necessary to edify, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Wow. What should we do with our mouths? How do we bless God? Speak His Word, confess our sins, share what God's doing in our life, praise God, confess Jesus, say healthy words. I like this. 1 Peter 3:9, the last one. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. You know what we're supposed to be doing with our mouths? Blessing people. Blessing. We are supposed to be blessing God by blessing those around us. I mean, when you come through, is it merely the fragrance of your perfume that people, or your cologne that people remember, or is there a fragrance to the blessing of God that comes out of your mouth? It says there, not returning evil for evil. I mean, if someone's been mean to you, or reviling for reviling, if they said something evil to you, on the contrary, when people speak to you, no matter whether they speak nicely or meanly, what comes back out? A blessing. Why? Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. I want to close with this because James, that's what he calls us to, but so often we fail. Without proper care and use, the tongue can become a lifelong scourge, a flame-throwing tool of destruction that blackens the foliage along the path of life. One writer noticed a gravestone with an interesting epitaph that reflected upon this verse. Listen to what he wrote.